G'day, people. I'm going to read that reading from Romans 12 again because I just think it's so cool that we can all afford to hear it again. This is from the Message version, which I don't usually like, but I think it's great here. Romans 12, 1 to 2. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Dale pretty much preached my sermon about 10 minutes ago, but that was good. That made me feel more confident to stand up and say it, actually. These things are not who I am or what I am, but the job that I've been doing for the last 10 and a half years is working as a housewife and a mother. That's a long time to some of you and very early days to others. But so far my children have survived and my house has not entirely been swallowed by mess, although sometimes it's very close, so I'm going to call that a win. But at the same time, I'm also on a journey of learning to hear God in the midst of this. So this isn't really going to be a sermon, actually. It's going to be a mention of a couple of things that I've noticed and that I'm learning. It's all very basic, and many of you will be experts in this already. Feel free to go and help the kids with the cards and the scones at any point. But I'm learning that God is speaking all the time. But we can only hear Him if we're quiet enough. Our lives are full of noise, and it comes in so many forms. If it isn't real people and real work shouting all around us, it's the radio or Spotify or a book or a podcast or a magazine or a newspaper or an email or Facebook or an online article or TV or a billboard, etc. But here's a made-up statistic. 99% of that is just distraction. For me, the first step to hearing God has been to turn down the noise that drowns out His voice. This noise fills up our thoughts so that we simply can't hear God for the din. But it also shapes us to the culture around us by sheer force of saturation. And this is all the more so when it's just background noise. If we aren't receiving it critically, thinking it over and testing it and checking it before it slides in our eyes and ears and into our hearts, then it just becomes part of us and it does conform us to the pattern of this world. Because the noise is so constant and almost inescapable, I've come to really treasure what moments of quiet I can find. So if I'm at home, especially if I'm by myself, or there's no other grown-ups there, then I've increasingly chosen not to listen to the radio or to go on Facebook or to watch much TV besides Ben and Holly's Little Kingdom. Not because these things are necessarily bad or even because I don't like them, I do, but because I'm a bear of little brain and I'm very easily distracted. I can't keep my ears open for God's voice if my head is full of noise. It's a constant daily battle. But I don't think that life is won and lost in the giant choices like, shall I go to China and be a missionary? But in the tiny choices about where is my attention right now in this 3 minutes? Is my attention turned towards the glory of God and the wonder of His presence? Or am I more interested in 10 weird facts about life in Finland? So, I try to choose to keep my ears open. when I wash the dishes, I converse with God about whatever is on my mind. And often this is when I remember to pray for people that I've said that I will pray for. And I find that praying for others is one of the things that reminds me of what God is really like, and it clarifies my own relationship with him. Hanging out the washing is a time when I often ask God to speak to me, and it goes like this. Are you there? I really need to hear you right now. Holy Spirit, I need your peace. You see, the washing line is a place that I flee to when I have just grumped at everybody in the house and I need to get out before I bite someone. And it's also often what I'm doing after I've just gotten through that weird scramble of, get up, practice your violin, get dressed, have you had breakfast? Where are your socks, teeth, lunch, bag? Haven't you done your homework? No, I don't have $2 for the fun time lunch time. Socks, get in the car. No, not now. Stop fighting in the back. Get in the car. Where are the keys? Okay, have a nice day. I'm sorry for shouting. I love you. Goodbye. So my conversations with God at the washing line often start in a very desperate tone. But having cried out towards the skies over my washing line and had God powerfully and unexpectedly talk back in what I see in the clouds over that washing line, I'm learning more and more that God is speaking all the time. I had an experience a couple of weeks ago of what can happen if you just clear a tiny quiet space and see what God will do in it. I found myself in a very unusual circumstance for me. I was in town on my own in the evening, having missed out on last-minute tickets to a show. My first reaction to being there for a few hours by myself was to buy a movie ticket to fill up the time until my parents, who had show tickets, were ready to go home. And as I swiped my FPOS card at the movies, I just had this little nudge inside saying that perhaps this was just noise and it wasn't really what God wanted for my evening. But I was going to watch that movie, so I ignored it and I keyed in my PIN and paid for the movie. But then I had 45 minutes left before the movie started, so I went and sat in Aotea Square, a little guiltily, a little reluctantly, kind of one eye half shut, told God that I had 45 minutes for him to do what he wanted with, and then I was going to see Zootopia. And within a few minutes, a lovely Ethiopian lady came and handed me a tract. And I started chatting with her, and ended up praying for her and her friend, who go out every Friday night to tell people about Jesus. I was surprised, although you may not be, by the tears that sprang into my eyes as I prayed for them, as I was just so struck by the wonder of God's love and his power. After they went on their way, I still had a bit over 20 minutes left, so a tiny bit less reluctantly, I told God that that time was his and I would see what happened. And the next person who came along was a young Indian-born Afghani computer science student in a wheelchair with whom I ended up having about a half-hour conversation about his Muslim faith, about our search for truth, about love as it's expressed in the Bible and is it in the Quran, about encounters with Jesus. It was an incredible moment and I felt so blessed to be able to be there. And by the time this had finished and his ride had arrived, I was late for my movie, but the rest of the evening was taken up by an adventure of meeting and talking to and praying with some of a hip-hop preaching group of Mount Roskill young people and a guy with a microphone and a speaker on the front of his mobility scooter, all of them there to tell people about the love of God and what he had done in their lives. It was an incredibly encouraging evening where God met me in a series of interactions with other people and took me on a real adventure. He could not have made it more obvious to me that he was close, active, powerful, and good. And I very nearly missed out on that by going to see a Disney movie. For me personally, so much of what I hear God saying is variations on trust me. You do not have to save yourself. I have already done it. Trust me, I love you. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me enough to let go of power, to let go of control, to stop scrambling. Trust me. What you need to hear may be different, and he may be saying different things to you. But if we turn our hearts towards him and listen for him in those tiny snatches of quiet, washing, clearing the table, going to the loo, one of the few moments of potential solitude for a mother of very small children. I'm past that stage now, but I know some of you are still there. Waiting for the takeaways to come, standing in a checkout queue, he will speak to us. Is our attention turned towards God and who he is and what he's done and what he wants us to do in these few moments right now? God being with us is the ultimate good. His presence is the thing without which nothing is worthwhile. Nothing. It's the defining feature of heaven. God is there. And its absence is the defining feature of hell. God is not there. If this is so, then there is no task, no matter how grand or glamorous or important looking, that's really worth much if it's done without God. But much more relevantly to me personally, there is no task, however mundane or unglamorous or even invisible, in which he cannot speak to us. I love what Joy Cowley says about this in Psalms Down Under. God of washing, God of unmade beds, God of dented saucepans and worn-out brooms, your presence in the most ordinary things often takes me by surprise. I listen to the morning news and think of your presence at a United Nations peace conference, at the launching of a space probe, or in the development of a vaccine or the discovery of a new planet. Then I look down and see you winking in bubbles of detergent. God of washing, God of stains and missing buttons, wherever else you may be, you are right here with me. Defrosting and cleaning the freezer, picking up bits of plastic toys from the living room floor, and each time you nudge my heart, the warmth of your presence, with the warmth of your presence, recognition leaps like a song. I know it. Oh, I know it. God of washing, God of vacuum cleaner bags, God of sparrows, lilies, and mustard seeds. My house is your tabernacle. So, may you listen for his voice as you drive in your car, as you find the cure for cancer, as you hang out your washing, and as you sit on the loo. And may you hear God speaking what he knows you need to hear, so that you may come to look more and more like Jesus, that his love may define your life more and more and flow out of you into a world in desperate need of him.